tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. Let's recite Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the Day of Judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad,
sallallahu
alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we have in the studio our Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizahullah, our esteemed guest for today. And inshallah, azawajal, the topic of discussion is the youth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have a beautiful kalam that was on the tip of my tongue, alhamdulillah, and that is Tanam Farsuda Ja Para Zihijra Ya Rasulullah, and which can be the highlight of today's topic, alhamdulillah, because we are discussing the youth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this kalam is written in the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we are discussing the youth, the Mubarak youth of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidi, regarding his youth, we see that alhamdulillah, as every facet of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a beacon of guidance for us.
Yes.
Whether it is his childhood, and then we know how our children should have their childhood, subhanallah. And when it comes to the youth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again he provides the yardstick of how we should be as a youth in our young days. What are the things that we need to do? What are the character development phases that we need to go through and develop our character, alhamdulillah, as an individual, as a young society of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the youth of Rasulullah, it is mentioned that the Arabs, they had been fighting wars for a long time before the emergence of Islam. One of those wars was known as the Fujar War. The Arabs used to consider the month of Zulqada, Zulhijjah, Muharram and Rajab to be very sacred, and Islam also, those months are sacred, alhamdulillah. They would consider it a sin to fight against anyone during those months. Usually they would put their swords down and remove the sharp pointed ends of their lances, subhanallah. However, sometimes there were circumstances and they weren't so favorable that they had to fight wars unwillingly, even during these months. Mm. The Arabs would call those wars Hurubul Fujar, meaning sinful wars. The last war of Fujar was fought between the tribes of Quraysh and the tribes of Qais. Mm. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his prime youth, subhanallah, he was at the age of 20 at the time. The Quraysh were right in this war, so he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also participated in this war along with Abu Talib, his uncle, and his other paternal uncles. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not draw any weapon against anyone. He would only pick up the arrows and give to his uncles.
Subhanallah.
So he was actually helping them. At first, the Qais dominated the Quraysh during the war, but later on, the Quraysh dominated them. Eventually, the war ended with a truce, meaning peace agreement. Where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, there shouldn't be a bloodshed, Allahu Akbar. And the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has maintained that. And he was even part of a beautiful treaty that we call Hilful Fudul, meaning it is mentioned that frequent fights had ruined the lives of hundreds of Arab families.
Allahu Akbar.
With looting and plundering became the order of the day. There was no peace in the country. The lives and wealth of people were quite unsafe. They were living in a state of constant fear day and night. After the war of Fujar ended, some peace-loving people campaigned to establish permanent peace. Therefore, the prominent chiefs of the tribes of the Quraysh, such as Banu Hashim, Banu Zuhra, Banu Asad, etc., gathered at the house of Abdullah ibn Jud'an, where the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Zubair bin Abdul Muttalib, suggested that a peace treaty should be made so that violence and destruction could be prevented. And therefore, based on the principle, live and let others live.
Subhanallah.
They, alhamdulillah, they formed the treaty, and the treaty was made by the chiefs of the Quraysh. They swore under an oath that, number one, they would end violence in the country. The second condition of this oath was that they would protect the travelers. And the third, they would help the poor. The fourth condition that was put forth, that they would support the oppressed. And the fifth was that they would not let any oppressor live in Makkah Mukarramah.
Allah.
Subhanallah. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also participated in this treaty.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. The founder of the religion of peace, alhamdulillah, the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he valued it very much, the treaty that they had. Even after the declaration of Nubuwa, he was so pleased with it that he would say that even if anyone give me red camels, I will not get as much pleased with anything as I am with this treaty.
Subhanallah.
Peace. Allahu Akbar. Even today, after the emergence of Islam, if any oppressed person calls me for help, saying, Ya Ala Hilf al Fuzul, I am prepared to help him.
Allahu Akbar.
Subhanallah. That historical treaty was called Hilf al Fuzul for the reason that is a similar treaty was also made by the chiefs of the tribe of Jurhum in Makkah long before this treaty of Quraysh. The names of those people from the tribe Jurhum who played a vital role in this treaty contained the word Fadl, such as Fadl bin Haris, Fadl bin Wada'a, and Fadl bin Fadala. Hence, it was called Hilful Fadul, because it contained the leaders whose first names they began with the word
right.
Fadl. Subhanallah. Therefore, the treaty was called Hilful Fadul. Sayyidi, alhamdulillah, the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so peace-loving. And in our youth, that quality still is lacking somewhat. And we need to, of course, develop ourselves and refine our character as a Muslim.
Yes.
In the youth, usually the blood is hot and we pick fight over every little thing. But here, the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was there to put the fights to an end.
Subhanallah.
And therefore, in our youth, if there is fights, if there is quarrels, if there is disputes, disagreements, we need to jump in, not to aggravate the matter, but rather to make peace with the parties.
Yes, that is what's the most important one. So, you know, we need to, when we read through the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially now that we are, you know, discussing the youth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially for youngsters out there, for the youth out there, in order to better their character, they need to look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because that is the only way that one can better his character, by looking at the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what was the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Once someone asked Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, that what was the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And her reply was that his character was the Holy Quran. Every action of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in accordance to the Holy Quran. And subhanallah, in this beautiful narration that you've mentioned, Munasab, we see that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made peace. You know, he made peace. He did not have any wish for bloodshed. He did not have any wish for war, etc. Rather, he made peace with the tribes. So this alone is a very important lesson for the youth out there, that especially, you know, in schools, in campuses, etc., where everyone wants to show that I am the boss and I am this and I am that, and you know, I can do this to you and I can do that to you. But at the end of the day, that will get a person nowhere. Instead, what we need to derive from this is to make peace with other fellow Muslims, to spread the love and to spread the unity with other fellow Muslims as taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah, definitely. And mashallah, every juncture in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every page of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you turn, there is beautiful lesson at every page, at every passage that you read through the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine those who were with the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with him, and how would be their upbringing and their character development in the company of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The way he molded his Sahaba ikram, and they were the torch bearers, the guidance of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, as we have come thus far into our today's episode and program, and I have, alhamdulillah, mentioned to you the good news that today's kalam is Tanam Farsuda Jaapara Zehijra Ya Rasulullah. Let's inshallah listen to the kalam, and after that, we'll come back and continue with our topic of discussion. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Bula lo apne dar par ab to gham khana badoshon ko phire kab tak zali ठिकाने से शबे फुरकत ढले बर आए अरमां या रसूल अल्लाह करो तुम मस्ता का
پجمردہ آوارا زیسیاں से है करम का सिलसिला पे हम है ख्वाहिश वक्त आखिर जब निकलने वाला हो ये दम ज़बां पर जारी हो नगमा तेरा दिल ये कहे उस दम जे سخندان یا رسول اللہ نمی گویم کے من ہستم سخندان یا رسول اللہ تنم فرسودا جا پارا زی جرا رسول اللہ دلم پجمردہ آوارا زیسیاں یا رسول اللہ سیاہی دفتر اعمال کی ہوتی نہیں ہے کم عذاب قبر و محشر کا مجھے اب کھا رہا ہے غم شرم ساری گناہوں پر ہے اور آنکھیں ہیں میری نم ذکر خیش ہے رانم سیاہ شد روز سیانم پشیمانم پشیمانم پشیمان یا رسول اللہ پشیمانم پشیمانم پشیمان یا رسول اللہ تنم فرسودہ جا پارا زی ہجران یا رسول اللہ دلم پجمردہ آوارا زی سیاں یا رسول سر محشر محامد پیش ہو جو در سیاہ کارا کہے بے ساختہ جو دیکھے رحمت بر گناہ گارا میری شفاعت را کشائی بر گناہ گارا مکن محروم جا میرا درا یا رسول اللہ مکن محروم جا میرا درا یا رسول اللہ تنم فرسودہ جا پارا زی ہجران یا رسول اللہ دلم پجمردہ آوارا
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وسلم. Welcome back to your viewers. Alhamdulillah. We have listened to this melodious kalam filled with spiritual vibe. Alhamdulillah. And that is Tanam Farsuda Japara Sihijra Ya Rasulullah. Speaking of the praises of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidi, as we're discussing the youth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in our youth as well, we have different phases of our life. Like, let's say, for example, in our youth, we do many things. And one large portion of our youth is spent in work life.
Right.
You know, doing business, working for someone, on a job, etc. So how was the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when it comes to this aspect of life, meaning work life itself?
Subhanallah, subhanallah. It's actually mentioned in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, way in at the age of 25 years old. At the age of 25 years old, you know, he was widely known all around Arabia, whole of Arabia. He was known as Al-Amin Was-Sadiq, you know, the most trustworthy, the most honest. And subhanallah, at this age, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was a very wealthy woman. And at this point, she wanted someone to take her trade goods to Syria. And so she knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is trustworthy, he is loyal, he is honest. So she wanted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take her goods. And so she asked him, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, I will take your goods. And subhanallah, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, she also sent her slave Maysara, who accompanied Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she told him that you must be there for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you must serve him, you must see what he wants, etc. And so they reach Syria when they come across a monk by the name of Nastura. And Nastura, he is already familiar with Maysara. So seeing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asks Maysara that, who is this person with you? Who is he? And Maysara says that he lives in Makkah and he belongs to the Banu Hashim, and his name is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His title is Al-Amin. And when this monk Nastura, when he heard this, he said that no one except a Nabi stayed under this tree. Subhanallah. And at that point, he says that I can feel that he is the final messenger of Allah. He is the final messenger of Allah. And thereafter he says that I see all the signs in him which I have read in the Torah and in the Injil. And thereafter he goes further on and he advises Maysara, and he says to himself that I wish I had remained alive until the time when he would make the declaration of his Nubuwwah. Allahu Akbar. If I had remained alive until that time, I would have fully supported him and spent my entire life serving him. And now he is telling Maysara that, oh Maysara, I advise and admonish you not to leave him alone even for a moment. Allahu Akbar. Continue to serve him with great sincerity and reverence, because he has been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the privilege of becoming the last and final Nabi. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful advice he has given to Maysara. And you know, this was the business that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had conducted. And subhanallah, when he was returning, he returned back, and Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, she saw him, and when she saw him, she says that it was as if two angels are with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they are providing him with shade. At this point, she had this attraction to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that now she wants to make nikah to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
SubhanAllah. Yes, Alhamdulillah. And she was very much interested, and she was moved deeply by the sincerity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his honesty, his trustworthiness, mashallah. And this was the criterion on the basis of which she had hired Rasulullah
sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Yes.
Subhanallah.
And when she saw that he was so honest and trustworthy, she even doubled his wages.
Allahu Akbar.
So yes, this quality is it's an admirable quality in a person to have, especially if there is an employee, there is a prospect for room for improvement, further development into one's career. So those youth out there who are trying to develop their career, along with the learning the skills and being efficient in their work, they must also develop the good qualities of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is to be truthful and to be trustworthy. Honest, subhanAllah. If you're a businessman, do it with honesty and there will be barakah in it, inshaAllah. And Sayyidi, this was the criteria that she looked at.
Right.
And being the noble lady herself, she used to be known as Tahira.
Allah.
The pure lady, Allah. Alhamdulillah. And Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, out of all the employees that she could hire, all the youth that she could hire, she chose the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the basis of his honesty and his trustworthiness. You know, these two qualities she saw.
You know, Masab, this goes to show that, you know, especially with the youth and the youngsters, that if anyone wants to open any business or do any business dealings, etc., you know, like I know of some where they open up. For example, say they want to sell hats, sell topis, etc. And what we find is that they want to make, they may have the skills in it, right? But at the same time, it's character that plays a huge impact.
Yes.
Because when people see your character, your honesty, your trustworthiness, your loyalty, etc., this is what attracts them more towards you. And together with that, it attracts them towards your business. So in actual fact, you will be making more. So it's important to have the skills, but more important to have the character with that. And that is the character which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us, that of honesty and trustworthiness.
Alhamdulillah. Sayyidi, I was once, I happened to be in a seminar where people were discussing, you know, the business community. What is the hiring process of people?
Right.
And something good came out of it, and mashallah, it reminds me now that Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, she saw the honesty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his trustworthiness, and based on that she doubled his wages.
Subhanallah.
Why would she do that? There is a deep wisdom behind it. And in the business sector, when people are hiring, the recruiters who recruit the employees,
right,
they look at certain criteria. Let's say, for example, and there is two main criteria. One is whether the worker that's being hired, whether he is efficient.
Okay.
He does his job and he does his job well. That is one thing.
Right.
Secondly, whether there is loyalty in him. There is honesty, trustworthiness, truthfulness in him. And the wise recruiters, what they do, they merge these two qualities, that if one has the contestant that is there, the prospect employee who's there looking for a job, and they look at whether he has both the qualities, efficient, at the same time he is honest.
Kya baat hai?
And that is, alhamdulillah, the best recommended way,
right,
to go with such an employee. And they test him in various different ways in the interview process. And then on the other hand, you have an employee who works very efficiently, but he's not honest.
Right, okay.
That person is detrimental for your company. Is a wrong person for the company. Although at the beginning, on the onset, you will see, oh, how he works so fast, he works so well. And he has ulterior motives, which you don't.
A hidden agenda.
Yes.
Right.
And because of his dishonesty, he may drown the company along with himself. That's why we see many scams going on in some certain companies. It's because of people like that. And they escalate the corporate ladder very fast. Because of they are efficient and they can impress people with their performance. But then their character has a flaw. That is, they are dishonest, they are disloyal to the company. And then on the other hand, you have, that is one spectrum. On the other hand, you have that employee who is not that efficient, but he's loyal, he's sincere. And at times, people may look down upon them. You know, he's not a good fit for the company. But in the actual fact, in the long run, that person is better than the other person.
The best.
Yes. That other person, maybe he works, he go out his own way of working through things, and it takes some time, and over time he will develop his skills.
Right.
But at the same time, he's not harming the company.
Yes.
Right. He's not coping a mechanism, an agenda behind the scenes that, you know what, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. He's not dishonest. He's a sincere person, alhamdulillah. So between both the types of people, a wise employer will choose the other person.
100%.
Who is not so efficient, but he's loyal and he's honest in his work. But then on the other hand, alhamdulillah, these are two different spectrums.
Right.
But on the other hand, if one finds, if a wise employer finds that this person is hardworking, he's efficient, he's fast, he does his job, he gets the work done. At the same time, he is honest, he is reliable, he is sincere, he is truthful, and alhamdulillah, he is reliable, he is trustworthy.
Subhanallah.
Then that is now the best match, alhamdulillah. We may not always get the best match, but at times there are some compromise to be made. But the wise employers, they refrain from hiring those people, no matter how good their work may be, but they are not sincere, they are not loyal, they are not trustworthy. You can't trust them, and they are dishonest.
It's pointless.
Yes. So at times we shouldn't see things at the face value. We must look at things for what they are. The spiritual aspect of it, the character of a person is also important.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. So if the companies, they look at all the different angles, and if their priority is to find a person who is hardworking, who is honest, alhamdulillah, that is the good thing and the good match, alhamdulillah, to look for. As Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she saw this beautiful quality in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she was prepared to even pay double the wages.
Subhanallah.
And now we know the wisdom as to why would a person pay double the wages, based on the quality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his beautiful character.
Subhanallah.
And mashallah, the business was fruitful. He returned from the journey. Sayyidina Maisara, who was with him, he narrated the entire account, mashallah, that how honest Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in his dealings, etc. And that even impressed Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala even more. And then he also narrated to her the accounts as to what had transpired by the monk Nastura.
Right.
And she got even more impressed by the blessed personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And she knew that he is destined for greatness.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
And then there came a time that she was moved by his, well, good manners, habits, and unique qualities, that she herself became interested to marry Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Subhanallah.
And on the other hand, she had already known and turned down the proposals made by the wealthy and famous tribal chiefs of Makkah, and had declared and decided not to marry for the third time at the age of 40. Meaning she had turned down many proposals. The wealthy people, the affluent people, the people of reputation, they all had approached her.
Right.
But she turned down all those proposals to marry for the third time. But when she saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it changed her mind. And on the other hand, she herself called the paternal aunt of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyida Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was also the wife of Awam bin Khuwailid, a brother of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha.
Subhanallah.
Obtaining some more personal information about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from her, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she made a proposal of nikah to the beloved Mustafa via Nafisa bin Umayyah. And a famous historian and Imam Muhammad bin Ishaq rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated that Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha herself told the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the reason for liking him in the words that inni qad raghibtu fika li husni khuluqika wa sidqi hadithik, meaning I have developed a liking for you because of your good manners and your truthfulness.
Subhanallah.
And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed his uncle Abu Talib and other elderly relatives about this proposal. How could anyone prevent him from marrying Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was known as Tahira, who was known for her chastity, good manners, wisdom and wealth. The entire family accepted the proposal happily, and the date for the nikah was also set, accompanied by Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu Talib and other uncles, relatives, respected individuals of Banu Hashim and tribal chiefs of Muzar. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the house of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, where the nikah took place. And on the occasion of nikah, Abu Talib read out a sermon very eloquently and excellently. This sermon clearly shows that the elderly people of the family had a very high opinion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even before the declaration of prophethood. And Abu Talib, he loved him to such an extent that he kept Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his company and he kept on supporting him. And here is a translation of the sermon delivered by Abu Talib, his uncle. He says that all praise is for the Almighty who has created us amongst the descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam and offspring of Sayyidina Ismail ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. He has privileged us to be born in the family of Ma'ad and Mudar. He has also granted us the privilege of becoming the custodians of his house, meaning the Ka'batullah, and caretakers of his haram. He has bestowed upon us the house of knowledge, wisdom, and peaceful haram. He has enabled us to rule over people.
Subhanallah.
He is Muhammad bin Abdullah, son of my brother. Subhanallah. He is such a young man who will always remain greater and superior, even if compared with any other person of the Quraysh. Even though he has less wealth, but wealth is not always reliable and it is like a disappearing shadow. Today you have, tomorrow you don't have. Moreover, you are well aware of the fact that my nephew is related to me and is very dear to me. He performs nikah with Khadija binti Khuwailid and will pay mahr in the form of 20 camels from my wealth. His future is very bright and he is very great and glorious.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. Such a beautiful khutbah in the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his uncle Abu Talib. And after Abu Talib finished his wonderful sermon, Waraqa bin Nawfal, who was a paternal cousin of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, he stood up and delivered an excellent sermon whose summary is that he said, praise is only for the Almighty who has created us as described by you. O Abu Talib, the Almighty has bestowed upon us the superiority you have mentioned. Indeed, we are the chiefs and leaders of the Arabs, and you people also have all excellent superiority. No tribe can deny your prestige, and no one can reject your superiority and supremacy. Indeed, we have very keenly preferred to establish relationship with you. O Quraysh, be witness to this nikah. I marry Khadija binti Khuwailid radiallahu ta'ala anha to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bin Abdullah in exchange for 400 mithqal in mahr. However, the nikah took place, alhamdulillah, and a marital relationship was established. Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha lived with him for 25 years.
Allah,
and it is from Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha that Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha was born, subhanallah. And as long as she remained alive, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not perform any other nikah. And she gave birth to all the offsprings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except for Sayyidina Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala anha. Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha spent all of her wealth and life serving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the sacrifices of this mother of Islam, mother of believers, subhanallah, Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was approximately at the age of 25 when he married, and she was at the age of 40. So that also goes to show that if the age is mismatched, it is not an issue, alhamdulillah, as many people, they make it an issue. That, you know, how can you marry somebody who's older than you Oh, in some cases younger than the groom, Islam does not look at all these sideline issues. These are small issues, but look at, alhamdulillah, the criterion that she had chosen to marry Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was impressed with his beautiful character and with his truthful speech. And that made all the difference. She had turned down so many proposals of all the affluent people, wealthy and rich people, the leaders. Some of them were leaders of their time. And she rejected all their proposals. But when she saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she herself changed her mind and she sent the proposals forward.
Allahu Akbar.
It wasn't that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam proposed to her, but she proposed. Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah.
So she was impressed, so deeply impressed by the beautiful personality of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our youth out there, if you are looking for a suitable mate, then look no further than developing your character, inshallah azza wa jal. And when you look for a suitable bride, inshallah azza wa jal, look for the qualities.
Yes.
Beauty fades, wealth fades, but the character, it stays with that person. From the time the person is growing up till the time the person dies, that character stays with the person.
Yes.
So we need to look at the simplicity. We need to look at the character of the bride and the groom, whoever, alhamdulillah, the family, sometimes they intervene and they want to look for, whether the person is sincere, whether the groom, he's okay, he's got enough, alhamdulillah, backing, financial support, etc. There are many factors they look at, but oftentimes what is overlooked is the character part. How is his character? Is he truthful? Is he honest? Is he a good person? How's his nature? That is the part most of us, we overlook. We see he's driving a Ferrari, mashallah. That is the best match. He owns a jet, subhanallah. So these are the criterias that we tend to prefer. But all of that is not required for a successful marriage. But what is required is to have a beautiful character, is to have a noble personality. And inshallah azza wa jalla, if we follow the examples of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is great. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam great. Look at the subhanallah, the greatness in the way he has put through the great character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People overlook this thing of looking for a good character in a person.
Yes.
And we look at external things, whether the person is wearing this brand of shirt or this brand of coat. You know, they look at, they judge you from all of that. What type of shoes you are wearing, what brand is it? You know, if you are wearing no name brand, then, it's too simple, this person here. You're not good enough for them.
Yeah. And you know, Munasab, this is one of the, especially now in today's time with the youth, it's one of the downfalls of marriage, you know, especially now, everyone wants to marry rich. Everyone wants to marry wealthy. You must have this in your, you must have thousands in your bank account. Your bank balance must be so much. You must have this car, you must have that house. So much of things. And then we see it's a reality, but together with it, it's a very sad reality. We see that marriages end up finishing because of this year. Why? Because as you've mentioned, Masab, that we look towards the external qualities, you know, towards the external stuff, towards things which is not important. I mean, wealth finishes, house is not forever, cars are not forever. All of these things are temporary. And as you've mentioned, that the thing which is neglected most of the time is a person's character. If someone looks at the character of a person, never mind he's not so wealthy, never mind they do not have such a big house, never mind they don't have an X amount in the bank account, but that character of the person is what will keep the marriage together.
Yes.
And that will make it last. And this we see in the beautiful nikah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, how often does a person, when they intend to get their child married, how often does one look at, is this person trustworthy? Is this person honest? Is this person loyal? Is this person modest? Because modesty with the youth now, it is finished. It is gone. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is an embodiment of modesty, of chastity. You know, so all of these qualities, it's not a small thing, it's a major thing, and it should be looked into. And after taking all of these into consideration, looking towards the character of a person, inshallah, we will see many marriages being fruitful. Why? Because it is in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his noble and blessed character.
Yes, this is something that we overlook, and we are carried by, we get carried over by materialism. Materialism is very rampant in our society,
right?
Especially nowadays, as we are progressing through time, as we are moving away from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people are getting more and more materialistic. You know, and everything is now looked at in the value of money.
Yes.
That determines everything now.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the bank balance, that's somebody's worth.
Right.
Meaning your net worth shouldn't describe your worth.
Subhanallah. Kya baat
hai. Your net worth is something else. This is something you own. This is materialism. Materialistic. Your worth as a person, as a personality, that is something else. But we tend to confuse it. Your worth is not your net worth. But your worth is way above your net worth. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
What is your net worth in terms of your spirituality?
That's what we need to look into, yes. You know.
Because we have two sides. One yeah. is we're living a practical life that is, alhamdulillah, apparent. And then one is your inner life, your inner dimension of your personality, your character, whether you are truthful, whether you are compassionate, whether you are kind-natured, whether you are a person who is generous, or you are a person who's humble. These are the beautiful traits of personality.
Subhanallah.
But when your net worth goes here, then you tend to lose all of these beautiful qualities.
Yes.
Then you tend to be arrogant. You don't consider anyone as anything. You know, you trample over people's head to climb up the corporate ladder. You know, as people say, you know, you have to do these things to climb up in life. No, you don't have to do any of it.
Yeah.
Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never did any of it. He never did any injustice to anyone to climb the corporate ladder or to become the king of both the world, subhanallah. He pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
And in return, Allah was pleased with him. So pleased that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would even change the qibla direction on the wish of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidi Al-Hazrat says that Khuda ki raza chahte hain do alam, Khuda chahta hai raza-i Muhammad. Subhanallah. We should also develop our youth in such a way and develop our character in sync with the beautiful character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidi, when it comes to the youth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were other event, noteworthy event that occurred, and one of them is the construction of the Holy Kaaba. The time is of the essence, inshallah azza wa jal. Briefly, we'll mention that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also took part in the construction of the Holy Kaaba in his youth. Subhanallah. And he was the one to place the Hajar-e-Aswad with his own blessed hand, install it in Kaaba Sharif.
Subhanallah.
And you know, by doing that, he resolved a great dispute.
Yes.
He actually avoided an inevitable war that was just about to erupt. What happened was, when the Holy Kaaba was being constructed,
right,
all the tribes, they took part in it. And when it came to the installation of the Hajar-e-Aswad, the black stone, they all started to fight because there's one black stone and there are many tribes.
Right. All of them wanted to put it.
Yes, all of them wanted to have the privilege of placing Hajar Aswad into the Holy Kaaba, installing it there. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how did he come in the picture? When they all went up in arms and it was close that there would be bloodshed, somebody, a wise person, advised them that, you know, don't do this. Why don't you have a person, a mediator? And listen to him. Whatever advice he gives you, you can just avoid all this bloodshed and listen to his suggestion. So they said, okay, no problem. We'll do that. So that was the one last thing before the battle will start.
Right.
And he said that wait here in the Haram Sharif, and the first person in the morning to enter, we'll make that person our mediator.
Allah Akbar.
Subhanallah. Our judge. He will decide what's best, inshallah, for the situation. So, when the morning came and the first person to enter the Masjid al-Haram was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the divine ordinance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their faces were brightened.
Allah.
Yes, now our Savior has come, mashallah. Because they knew about his honesty, his truthfulness, yes. his soft nature, Allahu Akbar, that he wouldn't like the fight and quarrel. So they asked him for a solution. What's the solution for this situation that we have? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised them that have a cloth and put the Hajar-e Aswad in that cloth.
Right.
And carry it. All of you can, you know, all the leaders of the tribe, they can hold different corners of the cloth. And you can all have the privilege of installing Hajar-e Aswad into the Holy Kaaba. And when they reached the Holy Kaaba, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then took the Hajar-e Aswad with his own Mubarak hand and installed it into the Holy Kaaba.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Look at how peace-loving our beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam was even in his youth, Allahu Akbar. And he is the one who has filled this world with peace and justice.
Subhanallah.
Sayyidi, alhamdulillah, as we have come towards the end of our episode and program, any last parting words?
Subhanallah, Masaw, we beautifully discussed, you know, the youth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with regards to youth, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, any hadith advises us, the summary of which is that value your youth before old age. So we need to take advantage of our youth, we need to value our youth, our time, and spend it in accordance to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this way, we will see blessings in our lives in this world as well as in the hereafter, inshallah.
Inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Dear viewers, keep watching Madani channel and keep reciting Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until next time. Salu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.